And I'm one of the ministry staff here at SP. And it's my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker for today. But before I do that, let me share a little bit about why I'm up here. Today is what we've known as SP's Poverty Sunday, where once a year we spend the entire service commemorating God's love for the poor. And so how we started doing this was in 2012, when the Hong Kong Church Network for the Poor challenged the churches in Hong Kong to spend 10 minutes praying for the poor, to give $10 to poverty alleviation on the 10th month of the year. And so when we presented this idea to PSAM, he's like, what? 10 minutes only? $10 only? We can do better than that. So that's how we commemorated a whole service to remembering God's love for the poor. And that's how Poverty Sunday came about. This is now the 7th year. And by God's grace, the way that we view poverty and experience poverty alleviation has expanded, evolved, and grown in complexity. Our first few years were focused a lot on statistics and figures, but as we followed Christ, he led us to see how these figures had faces, and often I found that that face that was caught in poverty was my own. We've learned that poverty is so much more than its connotations of the lack of some material thing, and that it affects all of us, whether we realize it or not. We've had to remind ourselves that poverty alleviation is not something we do to someone we perceive as poor, but is a process in which we allow God to heal us together, side by side, as equals. As time went on, the word poverty became insufficient to describe the tensions and complexities we were experiencing as we continued to grow, and it couldn't describe both the tragic suffering that we could no longer be blind to, as well as the richness of God's presence and the wealth of discipleship we experienced as we kept choosing to follow Christ into his heart of compassion. And so Poverty Sunday, the term Poverty Sunday, kind of didn't feel right anymore. So we boldly asked God for a new name. The intention of these Sundays is to create awareness and to go back into the Bible to see what God says specifically about loving the poor. And the more we did this, the more we realized that caring for the poor was so central to the gospel, and that to dedicate just one Sunday a year could mistakenly cause us to think that caring for the poor was something extra we do when it's convenient or when we have time or when we have a service like this. We wanted the name for these Sundays to reflect both how extraordinary and ordinary it should be for the people of God to worship him through humbly serving those who are trapped in pain. That this is just the way that Christians live. And this was just our amazing gospel and God's and our natural response to God's love for us. That this day focuses attention on loving the poor is not a special event, but it's just Sunday. An ordinary day where we celebrate our extraordinary God who constantly calls us to each other. So that's how this name came about. I hope that as we refer to today by calling it Just Sunday, it reminds us that being with the suffering of the world is exactly what Christ did for us. And that's what we celebrate every time we come here to worship. And I hope that it reminds us that when we come close to the suffering of the world, that this is how we follow Christ. And it should be as revered and as regular as coming to church on Sunday. So for those of you guys who have been at SP for a while now, you'll know that on these Sundays, we always have an experiential element to them. I was asked earlier this morning whether or not the sanctuary was going to be dressed up as we usually do, but we're going to keep it simple this year. The reason for these experiential elements is to build awareness and to create a conversation that will spur us on to continue serving. So this year's experiential element will not be experienced here on this one day at church, but will be experienced in your house churches. And hopefully not just for this week, but that it would be a springboard for you guys to find ways to continue serving and make serving a part of your everyday life. So along with the house church discussion sheets that we send off every week, we'll also include an attachment page where you'll be able to find tools and resources to respond to what God is saying to you through today's message. For example, it comprises of daily devotionals you can use in your quiet time to stir your heart of compassion. We have available awareness building exercises that you can do on your own or even through an organization, as well as present you guys with tons of opportunities to serve here around Hong Kong. A lot of these resources can be done in community, and we really hope that through doing it as a house church, you guys can experience a deeper level of intimacy with God and with the community around you. And for those of you guys who aren't yet part of a house church, this would be the perfect opportunity to check one out. Serving can be done individually, but there's something deeply bonding when we share not only our personal burdens, but also the burden of our Father God, who so desires to lavish healing and restoration through his children of salt and light. We will respond today, however, through an offering for our brothers and sisters who are in distress in Indonesia. And PSAM's going to come up later and talk about it a little bit more. So all in all, we desire to despectacularize Poverty Sunday in order to say that every Sunday is a Sunday where we can remember our brothers and sisters who are suffering. That every Sunday, we celebrate God's redeeming work in us and between us. We desire that when we sing songs of worship and sing about how God is faithful to liberate us, that we don't sing it just for myself, but for us communally too. We've come so far, SP, in these 6 years, 7 years, and I feel so privileged to have grown together with you. Perhaps this day has become less about creating awareness now and more about celebration and a reminder that this is just Sunday, where we can celebrate the good news that restoration is coming for all of us. And because of that, restoration can also come from us. So now I have the great privilege of introducing our guest speaker for today. If you guys have been around for a little while, you would know her because she's probably been around here longer than you have. Fabi. Fabi has been at SP since 2004. So that's a really long time. She's one of the original SPers. She's not from Hong Kong. She's from Mexico. And she's here in Hong Kong serving as one of the leaders at YWAM Tuen Mun. We have served as SP community with YWAM Tuen Mun so many times, and they have discipled us in very many ways. Fabi is relentless in her serving and has such a soft heart. So I'm going to stop talking and invite her up.
Good morning, everyone. I felt like Janella took my sermon away. But I'll try to do well. Well, I'm so privileged to be here this morning. And as Janella said, I've been in SP since 2004. I came once, and I never left. I've been in Hong Kong since 2003, and then working with YWAM. And it's kind of interesting to see the process, even as I look back, to see how we were all single. You know, Kenny, Nate, Kiwan, myself, a lot of us, and then came the time to date, and then came the time to have many weddings. Pastor Sam was very busy, you know, marrying everybody. And then came the time to have babies, and now they are busy. And so it's just interesting to see the growth, and what a privilege to be part of this house. Thank you. And this morning, I would like to take you on a journey as we think about the poor, the needy, those in suffering. And, you know, I didn't consider myself to be a person of compassion. If you know me, I'm quite driven and, I'm not like Janella and team, you know, that really have a meek, compassionate heart, but I realized that to have compassion, you don't have to have certain personality, because it is. Compassion is part of who Jesus is. And even though you might think, well, you're a full-time missionary, so you should be compassionate. Or Pastor Sam is a full-time minister, he should be compassionate. But my question to you is, are you a full-time Christian? And if you say you are, then We are to be like Jesus. And so this morning is, I just pray that God will challenge us to feel and to see what he sees. And so let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are in our lives. And Lord, I pray that this morning you move us, that you move in our midst. Holy Spirit will give you room to speak into our hearts, into our minds, and to bring revelation of what it means to see what you see. Open our understanding, open our minds and our hearts to see what you see, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you saw in that movie, it says, "Why do you cry? It's only an orphan." And, you know, that sort of struck me as I was listening to that, because so many times we are so desensitized to the needs of others and to the suffering that is around us. And I would like to start with a story. Maybe we can put that picture on the screen. And this woman is a woman in Tuen Mun. And as Soyeon, the other bass leader, and I, we were going to the gym. We noticed her that she had this toddler on her back. And she was selling a few vegetables on the steps, as you can see. And we just noticed her. We said, "Oh, look at that lady." And then we went on into our workout. Around 2.5 hours later, when we came out of the gym, she was still there. The baby was not quite active, you know, waving his hand and his legs. And we just thought, oh, you know, that's a sad story sort of thing. And then the next day when we came back to the gym, we saw her again. And then we began to imagine what it is for this baby, this toddler, to be on that woman's back for many hours. How does that affect his development in his legs? You know, all of you guys that are parents, I mean, I know in our base we now have 2 babies, and the parents really make an effort to push the kids to, you know, to grow their muscles so they're strong so they can walk. And we begin to think, how the life of this baby is going to be if he is always on the back of what we thought it was his mother. And we thought, what does that do to that woman that is carrying this toddler for hours on her back? And later we found out that she's a farmer. It's actually not, you know, her son, it's her grandson. And she cannot put the baby down because she has to sell the vegetables, and she makes very little selling these vegetables. And so we began to think and ask ourselves the question, what can we do to help these people? You know, it was by noticing them, it was by seeing them, then we begin to ask that question. And that's actually how our ministry to the street slippers and to the cardboard collectors and to people that are in the market began to happen. One evening, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years back, there was one evening, it was really cold in Hong Kong, and Soyeon got this idea, let's distribute blankets and bring some Chinese tea to the people that are working outside. And we began to do very simple things. And today, there's great impact because of those small steps. But it took from us to see. And so see, as we often think that there's no poverty in Hong Kong. In fact, when we travel, we say, in Hong Kong, there are poor people, there are needy people. Hong Kong is such a glamorous city, right? We have malls that there's just glamour everywhere. But we begin to see that people like this are in need. And you know, when we think about poverty, I want to suggest to you, poverty came when sin came. It says in Romans 5, verse 2, that sin came through one man, right? Basically, Adam, he messed up, and then, I mean, all of us, right? Sort of, we came along with him, And sin came into the world. And actually, the word there for death, it says sin came and death came. And the word for death is thanatos. And thanatos suggests it's not only the end of this life. It suggests that it's a painful and a slow process of destruction and misery. Now, when you think about poverty, all of us, I think most of us, think about financial or the basic things of life. But I would like to suggest to you, the poverty is beyond that. And as sin came into the world, death came into the world. In fact, sickness is an advanced expression of death involving suffering. Death came to bring disorder to human life, not only to cease life, but also to slowly make our lives miserable. If we think about misery, let's just look at the definition on the screen. The definition of misery is a state of suffering. You know, some people said that misery is an unhappy feeling. It's extreme suffering, something that causes unhappiness. Now, if we look at the character of God, we can see that there's nothing in God that is scarce. There is no scarcity in God. In God, everything is full, everything is abundant, everything is complete. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for us. And so poverty, it is against who God is. And now when you live in poverty for so long, for sure it will affect your mind. And not only that, it will affect the way that you see God. Now, if we look at the scriptures in Genesis, let's just remember what happened when men sin. You can talk to me, guys. What happened? Okay, so they sin and then they were ashamed, right? So shame came into the world. They were isolated. They had pain. There was a broken relationship with God. But people that live in poverty have exactly the same feelings. You know, I was in the mountains in Mexico. We traveled to an unreached people group. They've never heard of Jesus. And when we came into this village up in the mountains, you know, we have to share our food with the cows. The cows ate our beans, and the cows drank our water, and the cows ate our underwear out of the line. We have to share the same water where the cows drank and the pigs. There was not a proper toilet. We couldn't shower for 9 days. We have baby white showers if, you know, just trying to take the dirt out. And for me, that was like, wow, these people are so poor. But the interesting thing is when I asked them, what is poverty to you? You know what they said? They said, poverty for us is we feel neglected. We feel like we have no voice. There's a sense of shame that I cannot provide for my family. I don't have a voice. And the movie says, how can we give a voice to the voiceless? You know, for them, poverty was not that they didn't have a proper bathroom. Poverty for them was losing their dignity. Poverty for them was losing their value of who they were. It was losing a sense of, I am worth it. I am love. You know, Mother Teresa said that we think sometimes the poverty, we can put that on the screen, the poverty is only being hungry, naked, homeless, when in fact poverty is being unwanted, unloved, and uncared. That is the greatest poverty. And you know, sometimes you can think, what can I do? What can I do with this overwhelming sense of, I know there are poor people. I know there are people that need something. But I want to suggest this morning, I really feel the Lord is wanting us to take a position to be ready. A couple weeks ago, when we have typhoon coming, right? And somebody called our ministry. There was a TV broadcaster. And they said, well, do you want to come to this village close to Saikun? And we heard you're a food bank. You know, they called us on Friday evening. We have a feeding program on Friday evening. Will you come? With no hesitation, all of us, yes. And we have to organize everything in the middle of the night and collect. But it's a position. It's an attitude to say, God, I'm ready. Who are the people that you want me to see? Who are the people that you want me to feel? Let's open our Bibles in Matthew 9, verse 36. Seeing the people, this is Jesus, he felt compassion on them because they were in distress and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, the word see in this scripture is chorao. And this word means to see with the mind, to look, to discern, to perceive. Now, seeing with our minds is engaging our cognitive senses, right? When you see somebody, okay, you can see, but in this specific scripture, it talks about engaging our minds. And actually, in this specific word, it says an inward spiritual perception. So this just goes beyond looking. It's engaging our reason, our spirit, our discernment. And the interesting thing is that this word chorao, which is often seen, is usually paired up with the word compassion, which is esplaxinosomai. And this word, do you know what the word compassion means in the Bible? The word compassion means the movement of the inward parts, of our organs, of our bowels. You never thought about that? I see your faces. That's what compassion means in the Bible. There's something in your inside that, oh, the moves. And the word see and the word compassion, usually in the scriptures, in Matthew, when Jesus looked at the widow that has lost her son, it's the same word. To see, to feel something, and then to be compelled to do something. When we go to the book of John in chapter 9, and we remember this story of very famous story about the blind man that was born blind. And when Jesus comes and see this man, he's with the disciples. And I feel like many times I'm like the disciples. I'm not like Jesus many times. The disciples ask him, who sinned? Did he sin or his parents sin for him to be blind? Jesus says, neither his parents, neither him has sinned. And many times we try to justify suffering. Although suffering is a consequence of sin, but many times we try to reason suffering. But see, here in this picture, the disciples miss the need of this man. And they basically ask Jesus, hey, whose fault it is? I am like that sometimes. You know, when I did my discipleship training school, the basic school to come to YWAM, I was again in the mountains of Mexico in a third class train, and we were coming down to the city. We were in the train for about 10 hours, and I saw this man that had a baby, And he kept feeding the baby banana and giving him water. And the baby kept having diarrhea. And all of us, there was a group of us, you know, that were with them trying to see what happened to this baby. What happened to the baby was given unclean water. And so we went over, and as we're trying to find out what is happening with this baby, and we are trying to pray for this man, the baby passed away. And I remember the face of this man until today. And I was confronted with the ugliness of death and suffering and hopelessness. And as we began to share with him, and it was then when I say, I will become a missionary. It was that day when I said, I want to tell people that there is hope. And we began to share with him, and the baby died around 20 minutes before he got to the hospital. And after we come for the man and we share the gospel, and he said at the end, I have hope because I know Jesus is with me. But see, many times we don't feel what Jesus feels. Many times we don't see what he sees. Jesus is never indifferent to people's suffering. Never. Even to our suffering. When you suffer, Jesus suffers. Sometimes we have this picture of Jesus, he's so distant to us. No, guys. Jesus, when you cry, he cries. Do you know that? When we suffer, he suffers with us. Do you want to evaluate yourself and see whether you are like Jesus? You know, we read here, what is the motto of our church? To know God, to be like him, to make him known. And to be like Jesus, Jesus is a compassionate person. So if we are to be like Jesus, we are to walk in compassion. Ask yourself that. How much does the suffering of someone else bothers me? When you see something, you know, it's one thing to see something in TV and you feel compassion for them. But what about your work? What about your family? What about the cardboard collectors as you come out of church? What about the street sleepers? What about the people in the red light? Does that bother you? But you know, in Hong Kong, we're so busy, right? I was sharing this morning that I was just in Thailand, but it happens every single time when I step out of the plane in the Hong Kong airport, I start running. Oh, you know, get the train, and you have to, the door is closing, and you're like running, right? And you're like, why am I running? Like, where am I going? Why am I rushing, right? But it is the feeling of this city. And even for us, we're missionaries, right? And sometimes we tend to forget. And we tend to focus on the spreadsheets and, you know, on all the legal things. But God wants us to see. He wants to open our eyes, guys, to see what he sees. You know, if we go to the book of John in chapter 11, my very famous story of Lazarus. What happened to Lazarus? He died. Have you ever thought what Jesus wept? Have you ever thought about that? Why? Well, because he died. But he knew that Lazarus will come back to life, right? I actually didn't ask myself that question until just recently. Why did Jesus cry? But it's actually, if you go back to the context, it says that as Jesus came in, he saw Mary in distress, grieving, and the Jews. So when he came into the funeral, let's say, he was confronted with what death has done to his children. And he was moved. The Bible says he was moved. Again, that word, the inward parts of his body move. And actually, in that scripture, it says that he had a sense of indignation. And guys, I know most of us sitting in these chairs, in this church, we have encountered times when we feel that. But Jesus never just stopped with that feeling. Jesus was compelled to do something. And that's my challenge to all of us. What do we do? What do we see? Jesus, you know, when we talk about the poor, who are the poor? Let's open our Bibles in Psalm 82, 3, verse 3 and 4. We can put that on the screen. Who are the poor? The people that don't have money? No, let's read together. It says, defend who? Psalm 82, verse 3 and 4. Defend who? The weak, the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. You know, I didn't say this morning, but actually that word deliver, the Bible is amazing, guys. I encourage you to study the Bible. The Bible is alive. And that word deliver, you know what it means? It means to, it's a window of opportunity for hope. But when we look at the Bible, you say, how can I deliver these people? But sometimes God wants to use you to give hope to people. Now, who are the poor, the low, the weak, the marginalized? As we study these words, these are the words that came. The depressed in mind. Do you know people around you that are depressed? I'm sure we all do. People that are ready to die. Do you see what Jesus sees? Do we see? Do we feel? You know, the uniqueness of Jesus' ministry rests in his concern for others. He truly loves and considers people. God, Jesus, has high respect for people. For Jesus, people has extreme value. You know, we tend to focus on numbers when we talk about poverty. And numbers are great. Statistics are great to give us a picture of what's happening. 1.9 million people in Hong Kong live under the poverty line. 24% of children don't get 3 meals a day. But what happened is when we look at that, at those numbers, we separate, we compartmentalize. Oh, well, that's just statistics. But you know, God cares for the one. Every single person of those 1.9 million has a story, has a battle they have to fight every day. They have struggles every day. When I did my master's degree, I did my thesis on the elderly and children poverty in Hong Kong. The elderly in Hong Kong are one of the most vulnerable around the world. And they're neglected. They're isolated from society. And as I began to study, I came across Mother Teresa. And, you know, if you will ask today who is one of the most successful person in terms of compassion of the 20th century, many will agree that Mother Teresa is was a successful woman in terms of compassion. But, you know, what really struck me about Mother Teresa was she saw people like they were Jesus. And there's a story that Mother Teresa, she will walk in the streets of Calcutta in the early morning, and she found a woman. And this woman was dying. And it was already being eaten by rats, and by ants. And she said when she saw that, she took that woman on her back and began to walk to the hospital. When she arrived to the hospital, the staff at the hospital said, no, you cannot come in with this person. These people that are dying in the streets of Calcutta were of the lowest caste. In India, they have a caste system. The untouchables, the Dalits, nobody will dare to touch them. But Mother Teresa saw them like Jesus would. And it says that the next day she went out and in fact found another person that was dying. So the community brought a wheelbarrow and began to pick up. And you know, I've been to India. I was in India, and as I went to Calcutta. And as I was in Calcutta, I was sort of struck by all the people that live on the streets. A high percentage of people in Calcutta live on the streets. And you see them awake in the evening. You see them sleeping in the day because it's dangerous in the evening, so they're awake at night. And in trying to cope with my shock, as we walk, we were going on outreach, I put my headphones on and I just sort of tried to ignore everything that was around me. And we got to this place. The leader said, one team will go and feed people and one team will go and wash dishes. Sure, you know. So they told me, you are to go and feed this person, bed number 15. If we can put that slide on the screen. Bed number 15. So I went. I'm wearing the Indian salwars, and as I came in, I saw this lady laying there. And her bones, she was bones. Her skin was attached to her bones. And they gave me this plate with dal and rice. And I began to try to feed her. If we can change to the next slide. As I began to try to feed her, she couldn't really eat. This is the place. She couldn't really eat. And I began to do, what can I do for this lady? And as I was praying and smiling, I don't speak Tamil, I don't speak Hindi, she grabbed my hand. And with all her strength, she put my hand on her cheek and began to rub my hand on her cheek. And I remember just thinking, wow, what can I do? So I spent the next 30 minutes just stroking her and trying to just touch her body and try to comfort her. And then the leader came and said, so we have to switch teams. So I went and washed dishes. And then later when I came back, I asked the caretaker, I want to go back and see bed number 15. And when I went inside, the caretaker said she had died. And I just thought, what kind of God will orchestrate for me, a person from Mexico, coming to spend the last minutes of this woman's life to give her warmth, to give her comfort, and to give her a place to die with dignity? But guys, this is who God is. And I begin to think, what kind of person will invest her life in giving dignity to those who are dying? If you go to Google, you can find the hospice of the dying in Calcutta, India. But see, guys, God wants to use us. God wants to bring hope, even to those that have minutes left in their lives, because He is hope. Because He is love. And see, the Bible said that those who love our burn of God. You know, we are to be like Jesus. We are to be imitators of Christ. You know, in fact, if you want to be religious, do you want to be religious? Do you want to be a good Christian? The Bible tells us in James 1:27, the pure religion is to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress. And it's not just, okay, now that I look at the orphans and now I look at the widows, I've done my duty. No, it's an attitude to look for those that are in distress. And again, are you bothered by those in suffering? We are to be imitators of Christ. How many of you guys, maybe we can put that slide this morning. How many of you guys noticed something different in the lift this morning? Can we put the picture, the next picture up? How many of you guys noticed this lady? Raise your hand. Again, we're so busy. I am so busy to see what Jesus sees. I am so busy to feel what Jesus feels. You know, sometimes to feel the compassion of Jesus is not pleasant. It's not a happy feeling. But Jesus wants us to feel, to be moved. And maybe you this morning, I think our prayer is that you are moved. Because guys, we have hope. God has given us hope. And the world out there has no hope. And I can tell you, by taking small steps, God will open doors. Just take that small step. Do something. When you feel something about this person, go and say hello. Buy them a meal. I don't know, whatever you feel compelled to do. Don't just stay with the feeling. But try to do something, even if it's very small. Because out of those small steps, God will do something. You know, all the ministry that we have in YWAM and in our base, it began with really, really small steps. Mother Teresa said the what? The great things laid in very small things. And so my challenge to all of us this morning is, as you feel what Jesus feels, and as you see, as you go out of these walls, and as you go out of these doors, do you see like Jesus sees? To know God, the more that we know God and His love, the more we want to be like Him. And when we come into that position and that attitude, that Jesus, I want to see what you see. I want to be ready. You know, one thing I said is, I love this church. And one of the things I love of Pastor Sam, he is a compassionate man. He has a heart for people. And I think that's why SP has been so blessed. Because the Bible said that whatever we give to the poor, we take it from God. God will bless us. God will give us. And so my challenge this morning is, let's open our eyes. Let's open our hearts to what God wants to see and what God wants to show us. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I would like everybody to just close their eyes and ask yourself, am I like Jesus in terms of compassion? Do I care? Do I cry for the orphans? Am I moved when I see the fatherless, when I see those that have not, they don't have a hug, they don't have comfort? Am I moved or am I indifferent? Lord, I just pray that for those that are, those of us that we feel your heart this morning, that, Lord, we want to care. We want to see. We want to feel what you feel for the world that is out there. We want to be part of what you're doing in the nations and what you're doing in this city. Lord, use us. But I pray, the Lord, that we will not be indifferent, but that we will walk in compassion, Lord. And maybe if you feel the Lord is doing something in your heart, I invite you this morning to stand up and to respond to what God is doing. If you feel God is doing something in my heart and I want to. Or maybe you feel, I'm not like that, but I want to be more like Jesus. Let's just take a stand and let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you move us from today on to see with your eyes, to make an impact to those around us. Help us to not be indifferent to people suffering and need, Lord. Just pray that you help us. How can we start this journey of compassion in our daily life, in our work, in our family, in our friends, with those in the city? Lord, we want to. And we embrace what you're speaking to us this morning, Lord.
Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let God give you a picture, an image, a plan to make a difference. You know, like Fabi said, just to take those little small steps. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be seated for a moment. But we're going to take a step together as a church right now. And the Hong Kong Church Network for the Poor has asked churches to take an offering up. And we're going to do that. And this offering is a little different because it's going to go to Indonesia. And some of you guys may be aware that last week there was a tsunami and an earthquake that hit a part of Indonesia, Sulawesi. And Pastor Salamat came and talked to me this week, and he has a friend who's a colonel in the army. And right now, I mean, roads are blocked, people can't get in, the airport is shut down, but he has some connections, and so he's going to actually go in with the army and deliver aid to the churches and to the people. And so we just want to respond to that and hope to send him off with quite a bit of money to be able to do this. And so we're going to take up an offering now. I'm going to invite the offering ushers to come at this time. And I want you to give generously. The great thing about this is, you know, no middleman, right? It's our own pastor that's going to go and really has a heart to make a difference. Now, you may have not prepared yourself for this offering. And so you can still do this this week, either online or send an email to Pastor Andrew or anyone else on staff. We're going to ask God to really bless this time. Now, let me just pray over the offering right now. Father, thank you. God, Lord, we want to give, God. We want to give cheerfully. God, we want to give to our brothers and sisters, God, that are suffering, Lord, in Indonesia because of this. And even today, God, the 12th anniversary of SPIN, God, there are sisters, Lord, within our church, God, that are suffering because their family is suffering in this area, Lord, or their friends are. And we want to just come alongside, God, and help, Lord, and to deliver, Lord God, to be able to bring a window of hope, God, to people in need and in distress. So I pray that you would bless the offering, bless those that give to it, God, and that Holy Spirit, that you would just multiply it, God, and that you would help so many people, Lord God, through it. God, what a privilege, Lord, that you give us to be able to give the jobs, our careers, God, our livelihoods, our inheritances, Lord. God, we are blessed to be a blessing, God. And so help us to use the things that you give us, God, not just for ourselves, Lord. Help us not to be so selfish, God, Lord, but to be gracious, Lord. God, we thank you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead. Let's take up the offering. And Pastor Chris is going to lead us in a song. And let's sing before the Lord. So appropriate in this service that we're going to be coming and taking the Lord's Supper. And let me read from the scriptures. Let me invite the ushers to come forward. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, but does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep.'" And so the Lord commanded his church to come together regularly to his table to remember what he has done for us. Everything that we have is made available because of his sacrifice for us. And he says, all we need to do is when we come to the table is to examine ourselves before him. And so I want to encourage you to do that as the elements are being passed out. I want you to hold on to them, and we'll take them together as a community. And I want to encourage you to worship the Lord and continue to see if there's anything inside of us or any actions that we've been doing that is displeasing to the Lord, and to make it right here and now.
Humility.
Is there anyone who's not yet received the elements? Then why don't we hold them in our hand and let's bow our heads and let's take this moment to reflect on what Christ has done for us. And also, as we reflect on that, let's reflect on our response to the gospel. Now, are we seeing what Jesus is seeing? Are we just too busy and self-centered to notice or to care? Well, let's examine our hearts before the Lord now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins. We thank you for his sacrifice at the cross. We thank you that because of what he's done for us, God, that we can be free. Lord, free to live for you, but also, sadly, free to live for ourselves. Lord, in light of today's message, God, forgive our eyes, Lord, for not seeing what you see. Forgive our hearts, God, for being hardened and uncaring, God. Forgive our hands, Lord, that we only serve ourselves, God, instead of serving others, Lord. And forgive our feet, Lord, from running away, Lord, from the people that you want to touch. Lord, I pray for a change and transformation, God, because of what you've done for us, Lord. Lord, give us the opportunities, Lord. Oh, we bless you. We thank you. Let's take together. This is Christ's body broken for us, and this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for us. Amen. If you're able, let's stand to our feet. And let's sing this together as we close our service.
World that could ever satisfy.